Lord, we need your speaking. Appear to us. Give us all an open heart to be poor in spirit, a believing and understanding heart, and also a renewed mind. We take you as our burnt offering, that we would seek those things which are above diligently, seriously, take away all our looseness. Save us from this. We cry out to you. We don't just want to hear. We want to bear fruit. Lord, we bring our supplications to you. We pray that this conference would truly bear fruit. Amen, Father. Thank you for our God and Father. We're living in a very special time. What's happening in this world today is new. I would say nothing like this has happened in the world before. The enemy is attacking the world like never before. And of course, there have been terrible times in the past, but that it's laid hold of the whole world, from the smallest to the largest country, from the poorest to the richest country. And every soul, regardless of where it is, from the youngest to the oldest, that he's laid hold of the world in such a way is very new. And this has to wake us up and has to show us we also don't have much more time. We don't have much more time before the Lord comes and appears. So my prayer this morning, or my prayer in general, and I think all of our prayer, is that in these days of fellowship, that there would be fruit for God in our lives. You can judge how good a conference was by seeing what happens after the conference, because it's not just about the Lord touching our hearts with the word, but it's about the word that the Lord speaks. It's about it bearing fruit in us. So I want to encourage each one of us this morning to look in 2 weeks. How much fruit has this word produced within me? And then look again in a month on January 24th to check and see, what has this word really done in me? What has really changed in me, according to what I have heard? And we can't see that the accounts are at zero. If we do the check in 2 weeks and we see that nothing has changed, then we really have to repent. We have to turn to him and cry out to him, because this is the greatest sickness of our time. I'm not talking about people who are Christians who might be somewhere else. I'm talking about myself. I've gone to so many conferences, I can't even count them anymore. 5 to 7 a year. For 30 years, that's a few hundred conferences. How much fruit was produced from all of this? How much reality came about because of these conferences? That's the question. So I really appreciate the burden of the Lord in this time, because it's about the reality. The first sentence in Hebrews 11 is that faith is the substance, is the substantiation, realization of things hoped for. So what the Lord has spoken to us, and how much it's, and it, to see how much my faith has grown, I have to see how much fruit and change there is in me, how much realization, substantiation there is in me. So the Lord in his grace speaks to us every week. Or what's your experience like in the prayer time, in the meetings? How often does the Lord speak to you? Does the Lord speak to you only once a month? if yes, then you have to complain to the Lord and say, something's not right. The Lord speaks a lot. And I think the Lord has really spoken a lot to each one of us. And that's not enough. It's not enough to just depend on this, but we need faith. Because faith is the substantiation of things hoped for. Hope will always be great when the Lord speaks. If your hope diminishes, then you have to cry out to the Lord and say, repent, speak to me, open my eyes, speak to me more concerning your plan. And then you have a lot more hope. And we also need this faith, this living faith. This first sentence in Hebrews 11 didn't let me go in the last few days. Because for the Lord, it's about our implementation. It's about our doing and applying what he says. It's about the fruit. I can't say it 100 times, but I hope we hear it, listen, and really take it to heart because the Lord is coming. And what is the Lord looking for when he comes? What does it say in Daniel 9:27? What's the test? Do you know the answer? It's a covenant with many. But the Lord is not going to ask us about that. The Lord's going to ask and look at how much fruit there is of Christ in my life. The Lord's going to look at the fruit. That means the Father is a vine dresser. And what does he want to have? He wants to have the fruit in the vineyard. So I think it's so strong and sovereign from the Holy Spirit to see what was the witness or the testimony of the faith of the first one mentioned here, Abel. It was the fruit. It was the offering. The offering is the proof of the living faith. Because in these offerings that we should bring to the Father, the spiritual offerings, each one of us can see how much we have grown and how much grows or has grown in us. Is that not your experience, brother? It's actually quite easy. Each week, I look at my app to see the offerings, and often I see where my faith is. This is a very clear speaking for me. And it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Lord Jesus Christ. God wants these witnesses like Abel, because his faith produced something for God's enjoyment. Today, it's Friday. The week, 5 days have already passed in this week. How many offerings have you already gained? How much fruit has already been born for the enjoyment of the Father? How many wonderful burnt offerings have I gained? With Abel, it was a true animal that he sacrificed, but today, it's about Christ. The Father wants all of us to experience and lay hold of Christ by faith, and very specifically through everything he has become for us. And it's always a new enjoyment to lay hold of Christ in everything that Christ shows us, or the Bible shows us about Christ as the feasts. Have you thought about the feasts this morning, today already? This morning at a situation, the night was really horrible. I thought, oh Lord, how is it going to be this morning? And then I went to pray. And the Father reminded me, Christ is your Passover. Because I used my faith and I said, Lord, I take you now as my Passover. You have overcome Satan as you overcame Pharaoh at that time. You gave the blood on the doorposts. You have given me to eat. You have given me the head, all the inward parts. I take you as all of this. You are my Passover. And this was glorious. And after 15, 30 minutes, everything was gone that happened at night. This so good through faith to experience and lay hold of Christ in all his riches. We don't just need redemption at one time, at the beginning. How long have you already been redeemed, brother? I don't think you can count the years anymore. Over 20, 30 years, right? We've been redeemed for quite some time. But how often do you need redemption? Just one time at the beginning? How often do you need to be freed from sin, from Satan, who's plaguing you and oppressing you like Pharaoh, from the accusations that come? And the accusations that want to put you down for days through a bad conscience. How often do we need redemption? Always. And where is the redemption? It's in Christ, our Passover. Isn't it so amazing how God, in seven feasts, shows us how rich Christ is. You only have to count up to seven, and then you have so much redemption and salvation in the Lord. Even kids can count up to seven. And if we can remember these seven feasts and what the Lord describes there, my son even knows the story of all the plagues and Pharaoh, and the story of all the children of Israel in Egypt. My kid knows this. How much do I experience the reality that Satan is under my feet? Is this not wonderful? Or should we still let ourselves be plagued? We're only plagued if we don't take Christ as the one who has been given to us by faith. So the offerings also belong together with the feasts. And the first thing that the Lord shows us anew is, or what God shows us anew is, how rich this Christ is. Do we think more about our failures or about the riches of Christ? When you wake up in the morning, do you think about the riches of Christ or all your failures? We often wake up and are filled with worries, problems, and with all sorts of things. You haven't even gotten out of bed and you're already fully heavy laden. Instead of waking up and thinking about the seven feasts and thinking about what Christ is for us, what does the word name Abel mean? It means vapor, vanity. If we feel like we're just vapor, like vanity, we are the most qualified to gain Christ. If you yourself don't have anything, you need a friend who has a lot to help you out. So if we feel like Abel, who feels like he has nothing, and he's just a vapor, and it goes very quickly where you feel like vanity. If just five little things go wrong, and then you get sick, and then something else doesn't happen, then you really already feel like vanity, like vapor. But it's not bad because you have Christ. We have Christ. And this is where this first verse wants to steer our attention to. Think of Christ. Lay hold of the Lord. Brother, are you always for the Lord? Always more and more. Okay, that means there's still something left to lay hold of. In these last days, in the preparation for the conference, I had to realize I'm not for God. I don't have the strength. I should enter into the word more and have more experience. And I look at myself and I think, where's my strength? And then the Lord spoke to me, I am your burnt offering. It is always good to look unto the Lord. Faith means to look away unto him and to lay hold of him. Don't think that we have the feasts and that we have already laid hold of the feasts and offerings. Maybe to a certain extent, but how much leaven is still in us that we need to purge out? And how much Christ do we still need to eat? And how much death does he still need to swallow up as the feast of the first fruits, where we're really paralyzed and don't do his will? The first three feasts are for our full redemption and release and freedom. And the Feast of Weeks gives us strength to serve God. And the last three feasts are our ministry and service to prepare for his return. So let us really take this and not be like Cain. What does Cain mean? Does someone know? Cain means gain or something you have gained, yeah. You can do this, you can do that. Yeah, in this condition, the Lord has difficulties with us. He doesn't need people like Cain who do a lot and bring things to him that they think are good. When the Lord comes, he will say to many Christians, they will say, well, the Christians will say, I've done this and that in your name. And what will the Lord say to them? I do not know you. So Abel felt like he had nothing. And then he turned. And then we need to turn to Christ. On the other hand, we think we can do a lot. And we think we have a way to help someone else, or I will be able to do my work this way or that way. And then we're like Cain, who serve God as we think is fitting. And the Lord won't accept this. Here, Abel and Cain are mentioned. He did not accept Cain's offering. So I don't want to struggle and strive in a lot of, or do a lot of things in the church life. And then here at the end of the day, when the Lord comes, I do not know you. It's better to just enter into his rest, turn to him, listen to him, and not do so much for him. It's easy to do things for the Lord, to go there, to go this, to speak to someone, to go to the meetings. But it can be that none of that counts before the Lord. Because at the end of the day, only what he has told us to do will count before his eyes. So it's important not just to do whatever we think, but to first wait upon him and not to think we know what there is to do. We should be like Abel, who really listens to God. And then he obtained witness that he was righteous. If the Lord is the one who speaks to us and works in us for the ministry to God, then we will obtain a testimony or witness that we are righteous. Yes. I want to lay hold of this more and more. With the offerings of Abel, just one more point, it says he brought the first fruits to God. He didn't just have one sheep in his fold and just gave him that sheep. No, he had a whole herd, a whole flock, and he took the best out of this fold. So the Lord also wants to make us rich in Christ, that we're not just satisfied with one experience in the week or in the month, He wants us to take care of our spiritual life so that we would have a selection and give the best to our Father. This is very precious for God. Yeah, it would be so precious if He can, gain this riches in us and this breath of selection. It's only about God being well pleased with us. We're not bringing the offering so that other people see the offerings, but it's to please God. So it doesn't matter how big the offering is, if it's a turtle dove or a bull, but we're bringing the offering so that God can be pleased. Yeah, our offering should satisfy God. And may the word this morning encourage us again to exercise the priestly service even more. More and more to carry out the priestly service. If we always bring richer and greater burnt offerings, then our progress will be evident. This is so precious to see what kind of Christ we have. Christ whom we can gain. It doesn't come from us. It comes by faith, and we take the Lord. And it says that though through it, he being dead still speaks. You can't stop Abel. He still speaks. Why did Cain murder him? It was out of jealousy. It's just when someone is blessed by the Lord and out of what, and for whatever reason, he may not accept the works of someone else. And then out of envy, he murdered him. Abel didn't even offend him actively, but Cain murdered him out of envy. But still, Abel speaks. So do we want to let ourselves be silenced? That many saints tried to silence us through religious envy, but by faith Abel still speaks. So let us not stop to bring the Father his food, to look upon Christ and to lay hold of Christ. And Enoch was written here. Mentioned here, he was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Praise the Lord. Enoch was 65 when he had his first son. And he named his son Methuselah. Methuselah means when he dies, then it will come. So as Enoch's son was born, the Lord showed him, when your son dies, then the judgment will come. Perdition will come from the whole world. And what did Enoch do? What was his reaction where the kid was born on that day? What did he do? He walked with God. After Methuselah was born, then he realized it was serious. And it says, after Methuselah was born, he walked with God. I don't know what he did before then, but after Methuselah was born, then he walked with God. So I want to ask you, has not a Methuselah been born in our time? How many signs have there been in the last 5 to 6 years? How often have we spoken about the end of democracy and we're seeing it before our eyes? How much have we talked about the peace treaty and we saw that the Abraham Accords were signed? For me, it's like the birth of a Methuselah. And as it was born last year, and when the peace treaty is signed, then the judgment will come. It's exactly the same thing for me. And my experience, as I knew that Trump won the election, then I worked part. I changed my schedule to work part time because I knew the judgment was coming, and I wanted to walk more with the Lord and serve Him more. In this time where we see and understand that it's coming now, then we really have to learn to walk with God. We can't learn to walk with Him or just start when He's there already or when He comes back, because then it's too late. If he had not walked with God for hundreds of years and then waited 1 year or waited until the last year to walk with God, it wouldn't have worked. He walked with God for 300 years. He had to learn this for 300 years. So we really need exercise and consecration to learn to walk with Him. Is it so easy to live in the Spirit all the time? Oh, but you're already a Christian for so long. It's really an exercise to use our faith and to tell the Lord, I want to walk with you today. And what does it mean to walk with God? It means to listen to Him. 1 Samuel became very precious to me. As Saul sinned and brought an offering too quickly and out of himself, or it says, does he have the same pleasure in offerings rather than obeying the word of the Lord? Because obedience is better than sacrifice. And obedience is paying attention to is better than the fat of rams. So to walk with Him, you have to pay attention to Him. The special thing about our God is that He's not so pushy. If I go left and I want to go left and He says right is the right way, is He going to force you? Has He ever held fast upon you and said, no, you have to go to the right? No, and then He lets you go to the left. If I want to start my day with sleeping in or with some sort of vanity or want to occupy myself with all manners of things, will He force me to do something else? No. Our God is, in a certain sense, very reserved, so we need to pay attention to You. Yeah. Lord, I want to pay attention to You today. We need to start our day with asking the Lord, what do You want to do today? Where do You want to go today? These last few days, I've been exercising to not just say whatever comes to my mouth, but to ask the Lord, do You want me to say this? And if I say it, if I say something that the Lord didn't tell me to say, then it's like I've departed from the Lord. It's not so easy. It has a lot to do with our speaking, our thinking, so that we don't lose the Lord throughout the day. And it's a matter of paying attention to Him, to obey Him. This is what Enoch learned over 300 years. We may only have 3 or 5 more years, So now it's really time to redeem the time. Because the word says, redeem the time because the days are evil. So today, let us learn to walk with God, to speak when he speaks, to keep silent when he keeps silent, and to use our faith to turn to Christ. And if we depart from the way, then we can repent. We still have the blood, and the reward is the rapture. This is a huge reward. A lot of people think about where can they flee when the outward situations get even worse. There's only the only way of escape is really the rapture. Don't you want to be raptured? This is the only chance to escape this world, is to go this way to be raptured. And in order to be raptured, we have to walk with God. So, like Enoch, let us walk with him, that we would not see death, but be taken away by God. And verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. No one should think that it's not possible. Because if I already think it's not possible, then it won't be possible because you don't believe. But the word tells us, without faith, it is impossible. But he who comes to God must believe that he is in faith and tell the Lord, yeah, in faith, I know you will work it within me. You'll make it within me that I can be like Abel, who brings a well-pleasing sacrifice, to make me like Enoch, to learn from them and also be like them through faith. And Luke 18 describes how we should come forward to him. It's like this widow in Luke 18. She asked to be avenged. How often do we ask things and then the unrighteous judge doesn't do what we ask for? What's your experience with spiritual things? It's not so easy to learn spiritual things. We exercise, we practice, but still it's a new learning, a deeper learning, because it's not that easy. But this widow came again and again and again until the unrighteous judge said, okay, I will avenge her. And that's faith. And at the end of the parable, it says, I will avenge us in shortly. And then he says, will he find faith on this earth? Are we like this widow who will keep pleading until he gives us the victory? When I was a young person, I thought, this is such a problem in my life. I never thought I could overcome it. But then I had to seek the Lord diligently, because he will reward you. Praise the Lord, these things are now under my feet. So it's good. Let us be like this widow and diligently seek him, because he will be a rewarder. And we can learn all these things by faith, through faith, to come to him again and again and not give up. And then concerning Noah, it says, he prepared an ark for the saving of his household after he was divinely warned of things not yet seen, and he was moved with godly fear. The Lord has shown us that the judgment is coming. He showed us even the signs of the times through the times of the feasts. It's really close at the door. And in the last few days, I told the Lord regarding the vaccination. I said, Lord, show me what's going on about this. Not to just read the news and discuss these things, but to ask the Lord, what's behind all of this? What's behind all of this? What's going on? And within 4 or 5 days, the Lord showed me so many things that I was not only convinced, but I was able to speak to others about it. And this was a wonderful experience. We want to receive instruction from the Lord. This whole earth is full of violence, full of lawlessness. And my son is in a Christian school right now. But there, it's also lawless. There are things happening there that make me boil. And I really have to pray and bind the enemy because this age is really wicked. We are living in the days of Noah. And let us really receive instruction from him. And not from man, but to hear from God directly. And then do the right thing to prepare the ark. Praise the Lord for the church. Praise the Lord for this salvation. Praise the Lord, we're not alone. Isn't it glorious that we can come together? I praise the Lord for this, that we can be in the church. Otherwise, we would just be sitting alone and trying to get through all of this alone. But praise the Lord, we can be together. It's so wonderful that we have the ark. That together we can really perfect the Lord's work. Enoch needed 300 years. Noah needed about 30. I went a lot quicker because he had the whole family with him. And what about us? Maybe now we only have 3 years. Okay, so we're not 8 people, but we're probably more like 80. So we're 10 times faster, hopefully. That the Lord would gain the kingdom of priests. If we really practice this, then the Lord can make it with us in just a few years. And it's to the salvation of his household. And I'm reminded and admonished and encouraged again and again by the Lord. Pray for the salvation of your household. It's not just about our going onwards, but we have to pray for our neighbors, for our wife, for wives, for our kids. He gained his wife, his sons, and his daughters-in-law. Don't you have such an appetite for this? Those who have a family, to not let go and not let the Lord rest. And I told the Lord, I want to bring these burdens to you and to see if my faith works. And the Lord worked. Our faith works if we use it diligently, seriously. We can't just read and just take it loosely, but we have to take it seriously. Oh, Lord, I pray for the salvation of the household. I believe you. Yeah, and every day I want to deal with you in faith. Save the household. Save all the saints in Zion, and the Lord will hear us. Praise the Lord. We need more evidence of this faith. And I thank the Lord so much for all these examples. We don't want to be like Lot, who lost his kids to the world and his wife to the world. And he was just barely saved. We want to be like Noah. We want to build the ark and have the whole household saved. And we have to use our faith all the time. If we really mean it, let us really pray for this daily and really plead before the Lord and pursue him, petition him like this widow. And the Lord will deal according to his word.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, we pray for our, want to have this faith that we pray for the salvation of our whole household.
Doch dieser Glaube von Abel, er ist wirklich
sehr wichtig für
this
uns.
Faith that Abel had is very important for us. And we should learn from him. This faith makes us righteous and pleasing, well-pleasing before the Father. Abel was righteous. Why was he righteous? Because by faith he brought such an offering that was pleasing to God. God smelled this offering and it was a well-pleasing aroma for him. And Cain also brought something, but he wasn't able to accept it. What was the difference? At that time, Christ was already offered, sacrificed for us. How did Abel know what he was supposed to do? How did he know? The books of Moses or the law of Moses did not exist yet. But he surely saw how the Lord slaughtered the lamb and clothed Adam and Eve with this. And he knew, if I do this, God will be pleased, will accept it. This will justify me before the Father, and this will be a sweet-smelling aroma for God. And he went this way of faith. Maybe he wasn't that gifted. His name was Vapor or Vanity. Maybe outwardly speaking, it doesn't seem like there's much hope for him. But he took the way that God showed him. And this is also our way. In ourselves, we cannot do much. We can't please God. Who is able to be such a person who says, where God says, I'm well pleased in you? Even if I were full time for the Lord and outwardly speaking and give myself to the Lord, but I do it out of myself, it will stink before God. So it's so wonderful that God has shown us the offerings. He's showing us the way to be justified in these days and to be well-pleasing to God. It's through the experience of Christ. This is the way where we can be made righteous in these days. And how do we reach this goal? Or how do we do this? It's by mixing the word concerning Christ and the feast and the offerings with faith. So it's about how we work with the word of God. We mix the word with faith. And this is so precious. We don't doubt that the Lord is effective. But we stand upon the word of God and say, Lord, you're the one who has overcome sin, and I claim you for myself. Yeah, it's so good to stand upon his word and experience the Lord in such a way. And what is not yet our experience should become our experience. It's not about, oh, everything I have been able to do. But what Christ still wants to do within me, I need faith for this to become my reality. So the way to experience him today is to mingle the word with faith. What's the truth? My own situation or what Christ has accomplished for me? Often there are conflicts at work or in the brother's house, and the Lord tells me, deny yourself. Then it's so precious to mix the word with faith and to say, Lord, I deny myself. And then it'll become our experience. Maybe the night was not good, but we have received the Lord, we can forget the things which are behind, and we can stretch forward to the things which are before. The question is, Am I ready to mix the word with faith? Or am I full of unbelief and I trust in myself and say, no, it's not possible. I have to do this and that, and I have to strive even more, and I have no strength. And at the end, I still use my own strength. And at the end of the day, the result is nothing. But Abel set his whole hope and trust on the Lord. And that became righteousness for him. And this was a fruit of righteousness. And this is an example for us, and we need to take this way. He hasn't revealed Christ to us in the feast and offerings for nothing. There's so many opportunities every day. How often can we deny ourselves during the day? Aren't there countless ways where we can say, Satan, get behind me? How often can we experience Christ as our feast of atonement, or gain him and experience him as the Passover to have the sin under our feet? Don't we have countless opportunities for this? The question is, do we use these opportunities, and do we believe the Lord? Do we say amen to his word? And do we mix the word with faith? Yesterday, we heard sometimes it's work. Or do we give up already at the first time and say it's not possible? Or do we mix the word with faith? Sometimes it requires work, but we have to stick with it and say, no, Lord, your word is the truth, not my feelings, my emotions, my condition, but Christ is the truth, is the reality. And he wants to become reality in me. But it requires our faith. It requires our mixing, this kneading. And then the Lord can bring us into the reality. This is what I thought is what is very important with Abel, that we would gain the offerings. Yeah. To gain Christ requires us to mix the word that we have heard in the last few years with faith. The Lord has spoken a lot to us because he knows we need it. But now we have to mix this word with faith. And this is the way where we can gain more offerings. And this is how we can be well-pleasing to the Father. So let us leave our own strength or our own striving. We don't need this. That's like Cain. But we only need to trust in the Lord in faith. And we need this. So precious as we have just heard. We have received the signs of the times for the last few years. And it's good for us to not give up, because 3 years have passed and the Lord hasn't come yet. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. And then he didn't think, oh, after 5 years, the judgment didn't come and I'm going to give up now. He stuck with it for 300 years. And for us, we give up after 3 years and we say, oh, everything turned out differently. And it's just your interpretation. It didn't happen. And yeah, let's not be like that. But let us learn from Enoch. We have seen what the Lord has done. And we have seen in the times in which we're living. And we have seen that the judgment will come on the earth. And we already see the beginnings of it. So let us really go this way with the Lord and walk with the Lord. And the Lord will reward us for this. The Lord will not leave this unrewarded, but let us really stick with it to walk with the Lord. As Enoch was raptured, not much more happened on this earth. Noah came and then the judgment came. And it's like this with us too. As long as we're on this earth, there is a time for us to restrain. As it says, there's still one who restrains. The judgment is withheld because we're still here. But when we're no longer here, then the Lord will come and bring this judgment on the earth today. And we need this view today. So let us really exercise our faith and let it be brought to perfection in the time that he has still given us, and to really perfect Zion in through the priestly service. Amen. Lord, we want to walk with you all the way into